You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
A special day. If you didn't realize, it's St. Patrick's Day. Anybody Irish here? It's really funny. The Irish people aren't wearing green. The non-Irish people wear green. So I had the privilege slash curse of being born on St. Patrick's Day. So it's a privilege because a lot of people don't forget your birthday. It's a curse because I'm still struggling with PTSD. I used to always, every birthday picture they have of me, there's a cake like from like 1 year old till about 12 when I started rebelling. A cake, me crying usually, and in really ugly green hat. And I was crying because I didn't want to wear the ugly green hat, but you had to because it was St. Patrick's Day. So welcome today, NTC. I also heard, I hope it's true, is Trish Frigo here? Where is she? Woohoo! If you guys don't know Trish, she is like one of the originals. She is a founding mother, as we call her, and today is her birthday today too. No, we don't need to sing. PTSD, remember? Okay. But super glad you're here, Trish. She's here for a couple weeks visiting, so if you haven't had a chance to, make sure you say hi to her because we're going to see her around for a few weeks. What a blessing. So if you guys have your notes you want to grab, hopefully you have them. If you don't, I'm sure the ushers have some more. But it's the title of my message today is The Yes That Changes Everything. Have you guys ever seen that movie, Yes Day? If you haven't, you need to go watch it. It's just like super funny comedy, family comedy, where the kids convince their parents for one whole day. Their parents have to say yes to everything. So it's like, Mom, can I eat ice cream with sprinkles and whipped cream in a giant bowl for breakfast? Yes! You know, everything. Can we go to the amusement park today? Yes! Like, so it's a hilarious, slightly disastrous day, but it's a hilarious movie. But our yeses are important, aren't they? So are our no's, aren't they? So I just want to read you a quick quote at the top. It says, maybe the reason you're unable to figure out God's will for your life is because you've never said yes with tears welling in your eyes and your heart tearing in two. That kind of yes changes everything. So I'm going to start, guys, actually with a story. So normally we just, oh my gosh, I don't even have my Bible, dear. Can you give me, wow. Normally we start with a scripture, but I want to share with you guys a story. So sharing about Uganda is obviously near and dear to my heart. I lost how many times I've been to Uganda, to Gulu. But the first time I ever went, we were youth pastors. And Momentum Leadership School didn't even exist. We took a group of teens, Josh White, Jenna White, some of the people you know, Cami Ramsdale, and we ventured into the unknown to Gulu, and that was when the children's home was still there. And that trip revolutionized me. I don't know how to describe it to you guys. When Julie was up here getting emotional about missions, it's because it changes you. See, the thing is, we think, well, you know, those missionaries can do it. I don't do that stuff. And what happens is you're actually robbing yourself. Because the missions, absolutely, we're blessing Cali, we're blessing Gulu and these kids. Like, we're doing great things. But it's only partly about that. A big part of it is what God does in you that can't be replicated by you sitting and watching Netflix every night. It can't. It requires a yes that changes everything. Okay, so I took, you know, me and my husband took some youth to Uganda, and we had no context. You know, there was Dory, I believe, and Pastor Don. A couple people had been before, but we had no clue what we were doing. And we had some people leading us that were scaring the crap out of us. They're like, if you get bitten by a mosquito, you will die. And I'm like, oh my gosh, malaria, oh my gosh. You know, if you don't drink enough water, you'll be dehydrated and you will die. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to be dehydrated. So terrified was an understatement. It's not scary, guys. It was just, yeah, there was a couple people that were scaring us, but it's really not scary. But when you go to someplace unknown and you step out of your comfort zone, it's scary, right? But I just can't even describe to you I wish I could put it into words what happened to me there. Because first of all, the children's home is still there, and I can't remember how many kids we had at the time. I don't think it was quite 15, but we're here with all of these kids, and they're just climbing. They're little then. They're just climbing all over. I mean, literally climbing all over you. And they're like, auntie, auntie, uncle, uncle. And you're like, what's going on? But your heart just, I always think about, you know, the Grinch, right? How his heart is like two sizes too small, but then in the end, his heart just grows and grows and grows. Your heart just starts to stretch, and you're like, oh my gosh, I love these kids. I've only known them for one day. It's something so beautiful what God does when you say yes to missions. So a little bit more about this. So one of the things we did when we went on this trip is we did a puppet ministry. Anybody ever done, want to admit, they've done puppet ministry? So back in the like 80s, 90s, it was like the coolest thing ever. They're like, instead of kids' church, we are going to have puppet church. And everyone will be puppets, and your hand was forever tired, and you just moved the mouth and pretended you were talking. And it's quite interesting. But in Uganda and Gulu, it was an absolute hit because they'd never seen a puppet. They thought they were actually real. So it was either a hit or they were terrified. I had grown men crying and running away from me because I had a puppet on my arm, and they'd be like, "Whoa!" I'm not kidding, like over and over again. It was quite hilarious. It was great fun to scare grown men. But so we did this puppet ministry. But before we did it, we went out into, they would call it the bush. And it's just the rural area of Uganda. And we started inviting kids that were in the neighborhood. Now I say neighborhood, it has nothing like what you picture, okay? There's not a cul-de-sac and like someone riding their bike. It's just dirt and huts. And so we went out and kids are everywhere though. Like no adult supervision, kind of scary, small children. And they're like, my brother's watching me and he's 5 and they're 3 and they have barely any clothes on. They're just everywhere. So I've got this puppet and we're handing out flyers and I'm just talking to the kids and they're laughing and some are crying. And then they're finally laughing when they realize it's not real. And I remember that day in particular where we walked around and invited people to this puppet show, never feeling so fulfilled in my life. Sounds ridiculous. I had a weird puppet on my hand and I was walking around the bush of Africa. I can't describe to you what happens to you when you say yes. I just wish I could, because every one of you would sign up for every mission trip from now on. Because there's something so beautiful when you say, yes, God, I want you to use me, and it's completely out of my comfort zone. So at the end of that trip, one of the kids in the children's home, her name was Gloria, who still is like my girl to me. So she had a twin brother, Emmy, and she handed Greg a note all folded up into a little triangle. She says, Uncle Greg, you read this after you leave. And we're just like, oh, gosh, okay. You know, and she's crying, and everybody's crying when we leave, and I'm crying. And so we get on this bus, and we drive away, and Greg opens up this little triangle note, and it says, Uncle Greg, please be my dad. I've never had a dad. Please be my dad. Will you please adopt me? And Greg passes it to me, and I am like a mess. And the kids are standing outside that bus, and we're driving away. And I've never felt such a tug in my heart to say, oh, my gosh, Jesus, are you calling me to hear? It was the most horrible and beautiful thing all at once. And as we pulled away, I felt like Jesus said to me, if I called you to move all the way across the world and love these kids, would you? And a part of me just said, God, I mean, I've got 2 of my own kids at home, and I've got a house, and I've got a mortgage, and I've got all of these things, and I've got a church, and I got a youth ministry I got to run. But God just kept saying, if I called you to move all the way to Uganda and love on these kids, would you? And in that moment, I felt like my heart was ripping in two. I said, if that's what you want me to do, God, yes. Now listen, God never ended up calling me. I prayed about it for a month, and I felt like he released me in that sense. But this is the thing. That yes changed everything. Not because I moved to Uganda. I might have if God had given me that word directly. He didn't ask me, will you move? He said, would you move? Okay? And that yes, when your heart is tearing in two, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I can't imagine, is the yes of surrender. if you've never had a moment, and maybe you've never been to a mission trip or a third world country, it doesn't matter. The question didn't even matter. The response did. And I'm telling you, until you experience a moment in time where you're willing to say yes to whatever God calls you to do, he can't use you. It's the most important yes that you'll ever say. Because from that point on, now I still can say no, but from that point on, something in me died. There was just a something that said, whatever you want, God. And I'm still saying, whatever you want, God. And you know what? I don't know what it looks like almost day to day, year to year. But if you live in that place of surrender, he will take you further than you can ever imagine and use you more than you could ever know. It just, I just wish you guys could just have a glimmer of what that means, because it's not just for me or a pastor or the missions pastor, Julie Cardinal. It's for every one of us. It's a yes that changes everything. Okay, so that's the story. Jesus was waiting my whole life for me to say that yes. And he's waiting for you to say that too. So if you want to look at your notes there. Point one, yes is the blank. I love blanks. If you don't know that, I'm a teacher. I'm not really a teacher. I pretend to be a teacher. I run Momentum. I'm kind of a teacher. Yes is the qualifier of the kingdom. Yes is the qualifier of the kingdom. You know, God's not looking for talented people. There's an author I follow, Natalie Runyons, and she has a book called Raised to Stay, and she always says, the church isn't a talent agency. He could care less about your talents. Can he use them? Absolutely. But God is not looking for talented people. He's looking for available people. Problem is, there aren't very many of them. We get all these talents. Oh, I can do this. I can speak. I can play. I can sing. Why won't they let me sing? Because he doesn't really care about your talents. He just wants you to be available. I'm just going to brag on, I don't even know if he's here for a second, but the most available person I think I've ever met, and now that I'm on church staff, I see it so much, is Jason Sweet. Can I just brag on him for a second? If you don't know, just this Friday, Jason slaved away all day to make the biggest, ungodly big batch of chicken riggies for the trivia night for Momentum. He's leading the group to Cali. He's constantly, if you don't know who he is, that's probably because him and Marcia fly under the radar 90% of the time, because they don't need somebody to know who they are. But they're available. They are always serving. Jesus doesn't need your talents. He just needs somebody that's available. And that's the weird thing about the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God's all backwards. Because if you're in the world, right, it's like the most successful, the most talented, the most beautiful. Those are the people that do all the things in the world. I just love the kingdom of God. I love the way Jesus operates. He's like looking for the people that everybody passed over, the ones that weren't smart enough to actually be discipled by rabbis, the ones that stink like smelly fish. You! That's how he picked the 12 disciples. I love that. I love that he just picked this mismatched bunch of misfits, and he was like, hey, you guys will work, because it's not really about us. But I honestly think, and I can't prove this biblically, but I always tell the Momentum students this, I think Jesus asked a lot more than 12 people to be his disciples. Because we even see it, right? Remember, the rich ruler says no. We see other times where he says to people, come follow me. Only 12 said yes. That's what I believe. I believe he asked hundreds. But they were too busy. He didn't need their talents. He just needs someone who was available. So, you know how if you're a good parent, sometimes you got to like discipline your kids. I'm making that book wall in the back. Don't look too close at some of those books Greg told me, because some of them are really old, and like they're all Christian books, but one of the books I hung up there was Too Big to Spank. Too Big to Spank was the name of the book, and I was like, I took a picture to my mom and I said, Mom, I wish I had this 20 years ago to give to you. She's not here today, so that's good. But you know, a good parent has to discipline their kids in some way, whether it's a timeout or whatever. So take this with a grain of salt, but I want to share with you guys something. So as far as missions is concerned, the last few missions trips we've done a NYSEM trip. I think we're doing another one in the summer. We've got a Cali trip. I want you guys to realize something. 90% of the people that have signed up for those trips are not from NTC Messina. Cali trip is almost all Malone people, which is awesome. I'm so excited that they're going. New York City trip, it's almost all Augsburg people who are new Christians and are like, oh my gosh, I get to go serve New York City, and homeless people, they're like through the roof. And I thought, why is that? Is that because we've been going to NYSEM for 40 years? If you don't know what NYSEM is, it's New York School of Urban Ministry. I thought, you know, is that because maybe some people have already been to Cali or Uganda? But then I realized, no, a lot of times it's the same people that go on these trips from Messina. And I just feel like God said to me, and if you don't know, if you have only been here a couple years, like, this church has been around for over 40 years. And the number 40 is pretty important in the Bible. You see it a lot. And it really represents a generation. So 40, like, equals a generation in the Bible. And you'll see, even in Moses' life, he had 40 years, you know, where he was in the desert. He had 40 years where he was with Pharaoh. Like, 40 seems to be a very important segment of time. But you also remember that 40 years is how long the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Do you know that journey was only 19 days? Should have taken them 19 days to get to the promised land. It took them 40 years. Like, why? But they were following, like, the Holy Spirit, that pillar of cloud, because they wouldn't stop complaining. And so this is me being a parent and saying to you guys, don't miss out what this next generation wants to experience. It's not about age. Now, I believe this next season of time, we are going to enter into something we've never seen before. I'm not just talking missions. I'm talking the church. I'm talking the community. And we are going to enter into some of the promises of God that some of you guys have been believing for and laboring for 40 years. But guess what? That generation, they couldn't enter the promised land until that generation died. Now, I'm not wishing anybody dead. What I'm challenging you on is, have you said the yes that changes everything? Have you put yourself in uncomfortable situations? It's not just about missions. I remember actually Greg, so I can pick on him. He's not here either. Years ago, me and him, when we were newly married, got a prophetic word. And they prayed over us both. And they prayed over something over Greg, and he was like offended by it. And I mean, I get it. I would have been offended by the word too. But they prayed over this. They said, I see a spirit of complacency over you. And I was like, that's not the word you want to get on presbytery night. They had a lot of good words, but there was just this one particular part. And the guy who was praying over him, I can't remember if it was David Miner or who it was, he said, you have to shake it off. He said, we shake off that spirit of complacency. And I just want to challenge you, if you guys haven't said yes in a while and you haven't put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, it's like when your foot's asleep, you have to shake it off. Your flesh will not like it, but let your spirit override your flesh. This is the problem, is we want to follow God, but then our flesh says, I don't really feel like it. Anybody ever say that? When you wake up and now church is early and you have to serve and you're like, but I don't want to get up. There has to come a point where your spirit overrides your flesh. We were talking about this the other day to the Momentum students. Because if I just do what I feel like, I won't do anything. I will sit at home and hide away in my house because my flesh doesn't get the final say. My spirit does. It overrides it over and over and over again because I'm not going to sit back and miss what God's going to do next. And he doesn't want you to miss it either. So, you see in your notes there, faith means saying yes to God despite all the no's around you. Okay? Because here's the other thing. Well, I can't really do missions, or I can't really do what God's telling me to do because I don't have time. Right? Or I don't have money. See, either you're too poor and you can't afford it. I couldn't go on a mission trip. How could I raise that money? Or you're too rich and you're working too much. Don't have time. Or you have young kids and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know. How would I do it? What would I do with my kids? Because I can't bring them. What would I do? Or you're old and retired. And I mean, I don't need to go anywhere now. I got the hip and the, do you see? Sorry, not picking on anybody's hip here. Praying all your hips are fully healed in Jesus' name. Do you see how it works though? The distractions never stop. They change. And we keep waiting for the season when, well, when I'm retired or when I'm this or when I'm that. No, you won't. Your flesh won't let you do it unless your spirit overrides you. One of the best decisions my husband, not me, made for me was this. The first time, that trip I was telling you where we went to Uganda. He's like, you know, we were both youth pastors, but my daughter, so I had Jaren and Mara. And Mara was probably 3, just newly diagnosed with autism. Jaren was 4. So littles. And my husband had decided, you know, going to Uganda. I want you to come, taking these youth. And I kept saying, there's no way. Like, nobody can take care of Mara. Like, I've got 2 littles. One's not even in school. You know, like, there's just no way I can do this. And Greg, literally, I got mad at him when it happened. But this was several months before the trip. Went online and booked the dang tickets and put my name in there without telling me. And we got in this huge fight. And he said, Jess, we'll figure it out. And there was so, at the time I was mad at him, but I look back now and realize there was so much faith in that. And I'm pretty sure Ellen Hodge, no, not that time. Who knows what happened to my kids that time? The second time Ellen Hodge watched all of my kids like a superhero. Yeah, and they were all little then. And I had more. But there was a faith decision there. It wasn't like, oh, let me figure it all out and let me raise the money and let me figure out, let me clear my schedule. Oh, now I'll say yes. No, he was like, no, we're going to do this. You're going. Bought the tickets. We're going to figure it out. And sometimes, and again, this is not just about missions. Sometimes we have to say yes to what our spirit's saying and figure out the details later. Because the distractions won't ever stop. There will always be a reason you can't do whatever it is God's calling you to do. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean overwork yourself and say yes to everything. Does everybody understand that? Please, don't walk away from this sermon and be like, I wonder why I'm so tired. I said yes to 57 million people's requests. That's when Jesus calls you to do something. Not when every opportunity. Okay, sorry, I'm going way too long. Point 2. Our yes, you see the blanks there? Our yes opens our eyes and ears to the mysteries of God. Our yes opens our eyes and ears to the mysteries of God. So I want to read to you something. If you have your Bibles, yes, I am reading out of the Bible. Sorry, it's taking me this long to crack it open. Matthew 13, starting at verse 10. So when Jesus, so this chapter, Jesus is teaching in parables. So he actually shares 5 different parables. And a parable is just a story. But it's not just a story, right? It's a story. A lot of times it was about farming. But the point of the story was there's always like a super deep, almost hidden meaning in the story. The story is about a natural thing, like farmer goes out and he plants some seed and some of the seed falls on rocky soil and some of the seed falls in, you know, good soil and some of the birds eat it. And you're like, what is he talking about? But the parable always had a deeper meaning, right? There was symbolism. There was, and the thing about a parable is you won't get it unless you dig. And that, I love that about Jesus, because he was like, you know, those people that are just like, what the heck is he talking about? They just walked away being like, that teacher's weird. But the people that were hungry for truth kept digging, right? And so there's a verse right here. Actually, I think I'll read it. Well, no, the disciples, yeah, verse 10. So chapter Matthew 13. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has been given more, whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Right? We all have eyes. But they don't see with their spiritual eyes. Though hearing, they don't hear and understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. So then read the last verse 16 here. But blessed are you, he's talking to the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Our yes opens our eyes and ears to the mysteries of God. Why did the disciples hear and not everybody else? Like, why were they starting to understand what a parable would mean and not the other people? Because they said yes. Because they were already made themselves available. All of a sudden, my yes makes me able to hear and see these mysteries and truths of God and his kingdom. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he leads us into truth. So unless you experience it, you don't actually know it. Hate to break it to you. You can memorize, you know, like back when I was younger, we had a lot of scripture memory, which I think is amazing. Don't get me wrong, because that just stays with you forever. You're like 45 and you can still quote certain scriptures because you memorized them when you're 5, 6, 7. But here's the thing. It all stays in your head and it doesn't get to your spirit unless you would experience those verses. And that's what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. So I got to keep going because I got to end soon. Okay. So I want to read a parable. It's literally only one verse, and it's my favorite parable in the Bible. It's in chapter 13, and it's verse 44. It just says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he went and hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. Okay, so you're like, okay, I want to dig on this. I don't want to just be like, that was weird. Some guy founds a buried treasure and then he hides it and then he spends a lot of money on the field. What the heck does that mean? So let me just help break it down. The treasure is Jesus. It's the kingdom of God. The field is what everybody else sees. It's the world, right? People walk by it and they're like, well, that's an old stinky field. Who would want to buy that? Okay? Jesus is the treasure. Field is the world. The man is the Christian who pays the cost, because that field costs a lot of money, and sells out for Jesus, okay? So follow with me for a second. So the man is the Christian who pays the cost and sells out for Jesus. Here's the thing. The world just sees the cost, okay? But the Christian who's really following Jesus sees the treasure. The world walks by and says, why in the world would Jessica and Greg adopt? You know how, like, that's just, like, super hard. Why would they do that? That just, like, takes all of their energy, and they have these kids with special needs. Because I see the treasure. You're just looking at the cost. So you won't pay the cost because you ever actually scratched the surface to find the treasure underneath. So many of us are living surface Christianity because you had never let yourself scratch the surface and find the treasure underneath. You never paid the cost to get past the part that hurts to the reward. Because this is the thing. The cost feels like a blip on the radar when you experience the reward of God's kingdom. And some of it we don't experience to eternity, but it feels like a blip on the radar. And you're able to, like, walk by and everybody's saying, who would pay that cost? Why would Kayla move all the way to Uganda and stay there for so many years that cost her so much? Because she sees the treasure. The cost is like a blip on the radar. A few years, 3 years, however long it's been, compared to the treasure, the eternal treasure. Everybody walks by and says, why would you go to stinking Uganda? Why would you buy that dirty old field? But there's gold in them hills. But you never know it. You got to pay the cost first. Then you see the gold, and cost didn't matter one bit. It was worth every penny because I got my return times 100-fold. That's what it's like to follow Jesus, guys. Last one, and then you guys can stand. Our yes will look foolish to the world. That's number 3. Surrender pays a cost no one gets but produces results everybody wants. Surrender pays a cost nobody gets. Why would you do that? But produces results everybody wants. Jesus is calling us to that place. I'm just going to brag on Mason real quick. Mason's one of our second-year Momentum students. But this year, in order to do Momentum, he sold his car this past summer. Now, when you're 20-something years old, even if your car's not nice, your car's kind of a big deal. Get you places, get you to work. he had to put a bunch, he was going to have to put a bunch of money in to fix it. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to sell it. I'm just going to get rid of it. I don't need a car. I'll figure it out. Because he saw the treasure and the cost was like a blip on the radar screen. And if you ask him right now, do you regret it? I know he'd say no. Because that's the way it works. He might have thought in that moment, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm so dumb. But then in hindsight, you're never like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You're always grateful that you paid that cost. You guys can go ahead and stand. I'm just going to read one last verse, Romans 8:18. This is the Passion Translation. I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. I'm convinced any suffering we endure is less than nothing. Like, that doesn't seem right, God. It seems like suffering's really bad. But there's two kinds of suffering in life. There's suffering where life happens to you. Anybody been there? You get sick, you lose a child, you lose a loved one, right? Okay, that's life happening to you. But there's a suffering that Paul talks about where you suffer for Christ. It's when you happen to life and you make these hard decisions. And I'm telling you, as hard as it is, Paul talked about the joy that he felt in suffering. See, he wasn't surprised. The Apostle Paul wasn't surprised that he was going to suffer. He was on, oh, I didn't expect this. He was surprised by the joy that he would feel in the midst of the suffering for Jesus. And it's the same thing for us. So I want to pray for you guys. So if we could ask the prayer team, altar team to come on up. So we're going to do two different prayers today. First one, I want to pray for anybody, man. If you're listening to this and there's something in you that says, I don't know Jesus that way. Like, I know about him a little bit. Maybe I've been to church for a while. Maybe I grew up Christian. But like what you're talking about, I don't really know Jesus that way. And I want to start a relationship with him today. So it's the first group of people. If we're going to play this worship song and start to sing, if you're feeling a tug in your heart, and I tell you what, God has been tugging so many people's heart lately. Every week there's a salvation or a recommitment in Augsburg, Messina. I'm telling you, so if God's tugging your heart and you're like, man, I don't know Jesus like that. I want to know him personally. I want to actually follow him. Second one is if you're feeling convicted by this message, and it doesn't matter, we don't need to know who's who. And you're feeling like, dang, I don't know if I've ever said that yes. I don't know if I've ever said the yes. Again, it's not about missions. Where my heart was tearing in two. Where I felt like I fully said, Jesus, whatever you want me to do. Whatever. Wherever, whoever, whatever. No matter what the cost, I'll do it. Because that yes changes everything for you. It's not a cliche, but you don't know it until you do it. It's on the other side of that choice. So we want to pray for anybody that feels, man, I just need prayer. I want to make that commitment. It's almost like a prophetic act where you come up and you just say, this is my first baby step to that yes of surrender. So God, we just come before you right now. God, I thank you for every person in this room, whether they've been here for 40 years plus, or this is their first Sunday, God, that you are the same God that tugs on hearts. You are the same Holy Spirit that draws all men unto you. So we just pray right now that you would move in hearts and lives today, and there would be decisions made right here that forever change the history of someone's life and the community and the world around them because they said yes to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing, and please, anybody feel free to come.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.